a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G. No, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello, high draft pick who started as a rookie. Is there any advice you would give someone in that situation?
Not this week. But no, I'm rooting him on. I hope he does good, not against us, but in his future.
Here's my advice. Run for your life, Drake May. Texans Swarm! Hello, and welcome aboard Gallant and George. It is Friday, October 11th, 2024. We are live at Drift on... Is it 18th? Is it 19th? I don't know. I've come here so... It's 20th. There we go.
We're close.
I come here so often and I have no idea where it actually is. That probably says a lot about what's happening while I'm here. But we're here at Drift all afternoon, and this has now officially become my favorite place on 20th because I had no idea that there are just cats everywhere.
You didn't? Oh, so you didn't know that?
I had no clue. I've come here a lot. I think that they've got the best ranch water in town, Joe.
Mm.
But I had no idea how many cats are here. So there might be a couple of segments where I just wander off so I can go say hi to the kitties.
So if Paul's just not back from a break, Sean, we'll just go without him. We'll just make
yeah, it. You might have to.
Like, Paul's just gone. Paul's finding new cats.
I mean, my
are you going to try to take one home?
We'll see. I don't. Aria will probably kill it.
Oh, let's not do that.
But I'm thinking about it right now because they're sweet little babies. Anyway, hopefully the Houston Texans will make the New England Patriots their sweet little babies on Sunday. Am I right? No one's going to be impressed if they do it. But the Texans will win. And they will win convincingly Sunday. Right?
Okay, so the...
Oh, Joe!
No, this is your first part. I actually, because of the amount of injuries that are now, the Texans are now dealing with, you know, no Lassiter.
Kamari Lassiter probably out.
Jimmy Ward.
Probably out.
Nico Collins, of course.
Out.
So those injuries, specifically the ones in the secondary, you know, it is a rookie quarterback. But when you have that, when you have three starters like that missing this game, it does, you know, leave room for some impressiveness, as that's the way I'll put it. Like, if the defense does perform, if Desmond King or whoever the second corner is, I don't know who it'll be. It won't be Okuda, obviously. He's not ready to come back from injured reserve. So maybe Desmond King's getting promoted and he's going to be the other guy. It's, you know, Eric Murray's been fine. I mean, I think he's probably been better than Jimmy Ward. But when you're missing three starters, it is the NFL, so if you win this game and your defense looks great without them, I'll be impressed.
Counterpoint, name a Patriots receiver.
I can't. Jacoby Myers is on the Raiders.
Yep.
That was the only one I had.
Julian Edelman, retired.
Wes Welker, Douglas.
Retired. DeMario Douglas, okay, B-Mac.
Jalen Polk.
Oh, I'm going to flex. I know two Patriots wide receivers.
Fantasy nerd.
Oh, there we go.
Fantasy nerd.
They got no receivers. And it's a rookie quarterback making his first start. The Texans should win. They should win convincingly. And no one will be impressed by it, but it'll be another step as they have a shot, theoretically, to potentially get the one seed in the AFC, and they do seem like the odds-on favorites to win the AFC South, at least today.
Well, and that's why this game is important, because while it may not impress you...
I don't know how important it is, Joe.
Well, because you just want to... The more room you can give yourself in your division, when your schedule gets tough, you just have more cushion. You know, if you do struggle against...
For the push-in.
Yes. If you struggle against, you know, the Lions, the Chiefs, the Ravens, it will make us feel very differently about the quality of this football team. But at least if you win this game, you move to 5-1... You increase your lead in the division, and that's all that really matters right now, is making the playoffs and then where this team goes from there. So winning a game like this, it does matter, and there will be lots of – and part of the reason why it matters, I feel like, is because there will be so much anger if they lose.
Yeah, I don't even know if there will be anger. I mean, just sensing the town this week, it feels like they will go back to saying, yeah, I was right about being meh after they beat a Bills team that had won 9 of 11 games that's been a – AFC contender for the last half decade that has been running the AFC East that the Patriots used to run.
for the last half decade. Yeah, if they lose, people will be like, "I told you so." That's what they'll do, and then they'll go back to not caring. And frustrating for me because I want to talk about football all the time, but alas, that's what it is. But it is a big weekend. We got the Red River Shootout. I don't know if people are going to step in to try and stop us from saying shootout. I mean, there's been such a finger gun violence epidemic in our nation. Maybe they'll come after us for saying shootout. Because I know they changed the matchup name to, what is it now, BMAC? It's the Red River
Rivalry. But it's always the shootout to me.
Remember, the shootout will air on this station this week.
Hell yeah, dude.
But it's the shootout.
The Aggies cool with that?
Well, the Aggies are off this weekend.
Gotcha,
so.
Okay. So they're not, and they don't know. Got it.
I mean, I have obligations to other companies as well. So, and this game was offered to us, so we're running it. There's no one here to throw a 15-yard penalty on us, Paul. So we can say it as much as we want.
Whoa.
Shootout.
Shootout. Shootout. It should be called the Red River Shootout.
What did Gannon do?
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, 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 pew. Or actually, shoom, 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 shoom.
Well, his were lasers. They weren't guns. They were lasers.
Yeah. I mean, they're still guns.
Shots, explosives.
Explosives. That's true.
Yeah.
You know, you put a little gunpowder in a chamber, and you put a projectile in that chamber, and then you light the gunpowder on fire. Guess what happens if that chamber goes in a straight line long enough? That thing is going to go in a straight line. That's going to hit something.
Mm.
Are you mansplaining how guns work right now?
I am. I'm a big gun guy. Everyone knows this. I got big guns. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say you have big guns.
I don't have a big gun, but I have big guns and a big – I don't have any guns. I have. All right. So if you want to talk about the Texans and the Patriots, you can at 713-780-3776. We're going to have some fun here at Drift. You can join us on our YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can see us. We're sitting in the corner of the bar. You can also get after us on Twitch at ESPN 975 or on Twitter at Gallant Says at Joe George Radio. We got Shawnee Mapes back at Mission Control. We got BMAC out here with us. The injuries aren't an excuse for a Texans loss, but that's how the Patriots end up winning this one on Sunday by some miracle. It does seem like Joe Mixon is going to be out there for the Texans. Great to see that. Great to hear about that. He still seems rather frustrated about the injury that he suffered. I don't know how many people caught this yesterday. And Sean, sorry to throw this at you last second, but this is Joe Mixon, Houston Texans running back, who had an incredible week one against the Indianapolis Colts, but struggled in week two against the Chicago Bears before this happened. This is him being asked if he was upset having to sit on the sideline the last couple of weeks.
What you think?
I was
number one in the league in rushing. I want to be out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, other than I was stopped because of that weak ass hip drop tackle. You know what I'm saying? So I can't do nothing about that. I want to be out there more than anybody. You know what I'm saying? So obviously it's frustrating, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. I'm going to just keep on working. And when it's time to, you know, be out there, I'm going to do what I got to do to show up the best on the field. Simple as that.
Weak-ass hip drop tackle.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why they tried to get rid of it. And I don't even know if TJ Edwards got fined for that.
I don't either.
He didn't get penalized for it.
I don't know what a hip drop tackle is. I refuse to read it. I don't believe that was actually as bad as it was made out to be. There's a person in space. Bring him down.
Yeah.
I do not care about the rules. If I'm playing in the moment, I'm a defender. I'm trying to tackle the guy. Stop crying. Offensive players have so many advantages built in this game now.
But him being back is, I mean, that's why there's really, for me, there's no concern about Nico Collins being out this week. The Patriots can't stop the run. They've given up in their last four games 193 rushing yards, 148 rushing yards, 133 rushing yards, and 46 only against Seattle. So they shut down the Seattle Seahawks somehow when they lost 23-20. But the last 3 weeks, these teams have been running all over them.
Right, and I mean, what's worst of all for them, imagine that you're giving up all that rushing yardage against a Dolphins team that cannot throw.
And their best running back got a concussion in the first quarter.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, these are the things that the Patriots are at this moment in time. As somebody who is a lifelong Patriots fan, it's pretty sad to see. But from a Texans perspective, they should be able to take advantage of it. What's your confidence level, 1 to 10, 713-780-3776? And the Texans winning, but also the Texans blowing out the Patriots on Sunday. You can get after us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. We're on Twitter, too, Echelon Says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes Behind the Glass. Up next, you get to answer that. Plus, there's some NFL issues on full display in Thursday Night Football. And no, we're not talking about Al Michaels checking out. What's the biggest problem in football right now? Stay put.
Coming up this Sunday from 10 to noon, Brian, myself, and Sean, we will be headed to ESPN Bet at LaBerge Lake Charles before the NFL action kicks off. We'll do a show from 10 a.m. to noon that day. We'll also be getting there for the Red River Shootout and watching all the big college football games this weekend. 24-foot video wall. So when you've got a weekend like this, when you've got Ohio State and Oregon, and you've got Oklahoma and Texas, and you've got those big games, but you want to watch the other games you're betting on, it's a great place to do it. They got TVs throughout the venue as well, 19 betting kiosks. You got the sports book you can walk right up to. You've got ESPN Bet that as soon as you cross into Louisiana, you know, find that tower, get connected, and you can start wagering on your phone right away. I can't recommend it enough. I love going there. Can't wait to get there this weekend. As always, Chef Lyle, the cook there, he's on point with what he's doing. I highly recommend the Hot Honey Sriracha Wings. When you go to LaBerge, make sure you do it and bet there and tell him Joe George sent you by.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights.
He's Joe and Paul. We're here at Drift. B-Max here. Bartender's here. Some cats are here. And the cats are making me so happy. Really, they're bringing up my Friday spirits. So, we are getting your routine answers about the people who just do not believe in this Texans team. Poor Marine, they are going to most likely get beat by the Patriots. It's so funny. Where do these negative vibes come from for this team with C.J. Stroud? I understand history. I don't understand how you can feel, looking at this game on Sunday, though, that they're going to lose. They could. It's the NFL. Anything is possible. But from the 8-3-2, one texter saying 1 to 10, he's got a 10 on the confidence scale. And I feel like that's how you should feel about this game. And it's one of those reasons why I don't really think it's that fun of a game to talk about leading up to it. Unless you are one of those people who seem to be rooting against the Texans.
Yeah, I'm a 10 on confidence that they're going to win and confidence that they're going to cover. Line is 6.5, I think, still right now.
Yeah.
The Drake May makes the Patriots a half a point better than Jacoby Brissett does. But I it's a 10. Like, this is a bad football team. This is one of the worst teams in the league. This is a team that's going to be in position with the Patriots to have a top five pick in the NFL draft.
Glad you clarified you're talking about the Patriots, because yes. There's a lot of people in here who say that.
I was saying it, I was like, let me clarify for the trolls. But yeah, look, the Patriots, they're just not good. So you could be without Tank Dell, Nico Collins, both this week, and I would feel confident that they're going to win. Is it possible? Of course. It's the NFL. We see crazy things happen all the time. They beat the Cincinnati Bengals, who, yes, they only have one win this season, but the Cincinnati Bengals statistically have one of the best offenses in the NFL this year. The Patriots beat them in week one. The Texans should not lose this game. They are a significantly better football team than the Patriots.
Yep.
And to the people, to give them a brief second of, I understand where you're coming from, because of the Texans' history.
Because he's a Bears fan.
because of the Texans' history.
You get the wiring.
I get the wiring. But this should be different, because all that stuff should go away as soon as we started seeing C.J. Stroud take off as a quarterback. That past history shouldn't matter anymore. This isn't Matt Schaub. This isn't Ryan Fitzpatrick or T.J. Yates or Brock Osweiler or Deshaun Watson or whoever the hell you want to name. Like, this is a different era of Texans football because it's C.J. Stroud. And yes, they lost to the Panthers last year, but this is year two. It shouldn't happen.
Ryan lost in Texas on the Twitch says he has a 6.9 on the confidence scale. Nice.
Nice.
I feel like it should be over 7 for everybody. I'm at a 9. Everything can, they haven't covered this year, so to win convincingly, I guess I'll believe it when I see it. I guess they covered on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
But it was, that doesn't count when the spread's basically one of those things that's pick 'em.
Yeah.
I think it was, what, half a point?
I think it was a point.
Yeah, yeah. 1 point, right.
So it's a little bit different. It's like they haven't covered a big spread this year.
No, and this is a big one, and it's a big opportunity with the rookie quarterback, especially considering this rookie quarterback's going to be behind one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL with a very bad receiving core, at least based off of everyone in Boston's opinion. And on top of that, he's going up against a pass rush that has been the team that has provided the most pressure this entire year. So, should be a dub. We shall see. The NFL, it is constantly watched, and yet it is constantly complained about. And last night on Thursday Night Football, we had quite the moment. Now, the 49ers, they beat the Seahawks, but the story is more about how Amazon's broadcast, with all these cameras, with all this money going towards the 12-person pre- and post-game team, and Al Michaels, and just the production quality, which is very high. Apparently, this production quality is not available to the NFL, which has always been something in the back of my mind, wondering if the television broadcast is something that New York has available to them. Here is Terry McCauley, who is the Amazon Prime referee analyst, in the midst of last night's 49ers-Seahawks game, after the Seahawks clearly muffed a punt, but for whatever reason, no one on the field saw it that was wearing black and white.
The ruling on the field stands as called. It'll be Seattle ball, first down and 10. Timer, please reset the game clock. 14 minutes and 51 seconds. Thank you.
Terry McCauley, this is as close as it gets. What did you see?
Yeah, Al, we've seen two different angles where it's pretty clear it hits the finger of the receiving team player, and then there's a clear recovery by San Francisco. I believe this should have been reversed to San Francisco's football.
But it was not.
Nice, Al.
It was not.
It was not. And moments later, we found out from Terry McCauley in the midst of this 49ers-Seahawks game, which the 49ers won, that they did not have access to the replays that the broadcasters were actually watching, which is mind-boggling. Here's more Terry.
For 1 minute here. Terry, go back to that, the controversial play on the punt.
Yeah, Al, I spoke with Walt Anderson in the command center in New York, and what they're telling me, they did not get our enhanced video that we showed the ball touching the finger. What they had was the raw feed from our cameras, and it was not clear and obvious to them that it touched the finger.
Obviously a gigantic play.
That's a massive problem.
I mean, what? I have so many questions. Like, why don't they have access to it?
It makes no sense.
Why? I mean, because that's where you get fan vitriol from, and fairly, is that they're showing things on the broadcast. And I've wondered this about, you know, we don't have a rules analyst like this in baseball games, but there's times during, you know, watching the Astros throughout the season where they go to New York, and, you know, like, you know, Space City will kind of show what the New York room looks like. And it's just, you don't know what they're seeing versus what we see on television. What we see on television looks very clear and concise. They seem to not have access to that then either. So I just don't, that's why I don't understand replay. Like, I get the purpose of it. But
well,
they can't get it
Joe,
right. But they can't get it right.
Replay,
so why do we even have it?
Replay, in case you don't know, I'm going to continue to mansplain things.
Thank
one
you.
Mansplaining a segment. Replay, what happens is, so they show what happened again. So they're replaying it so that you can see it again.
Mm-hmm. But only us.
Yeah.
Not the important
Not
people.
The referees.
Yeah, the people that need to see, the people that need to see it, they don't get to see it.
Especially with the involvement of gambling, it is really surprising that this is something that they haven't figured out. It's something I've always wondered about. I mean, NBC broadcasts have all of these high-powered cameras. Amazon clearly is not sparing a dime on these. ESPN, I'm sure, is doing the same things with Monday Night Football. How are the people in New York not getting this feed? It just seems so easy to take care of. And also, when it comes to a muff on a punt, how do the referees on the field not see that?
Yeah,
It is actually pretty easy to see that in the moment. I mean, if you're a ref, what else are you going to be looking at? You're going to be looking at the guy catching the ball.
Yeah, I guess, like, they gave, like, the benefit of the doubt in the moment. that he it didn't touch his finger. I guess it's the referees never seem to be. Look, we know it's not the easiest job in the world, and for the most part, they're pretty good. But when you miss big moments, that's when it's the most obvious that there's still something wrong with the system. So whether it's the referees on the field, the people in New York having access to what they need to, it's just a flawed system that they haven't really been able to correct. I mean, you know, even going this is very NFL-y because like you have like what's the catch? Yeah. Like, we still don't really know.
No,
like we still don't really know. Like it feels like every other week there's at least one play where it's ruled a catch or not, and it's like half of the internet disagrees.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand why New York would not have every angle available to them that's also being shown to us.
Yeah, it's truly crazy. In a way, I think it's fun, but I'm a chaos enthusiast. Now, there's another problem in the NFL, too. It's bad quarterback play.
Mm.
Warren Sharp has a very pronounced mustache. Watch out, Joe. It's bigger than your mustache, okay?
I don't think I want that mustache.
You don't want that mustache?
No, it's pretty intense.
Okay. It's not a Hitler mustache or anything like that. No, it's too thick. It's too thick for that.
It's like the modern day Hitler stash.
If you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, you could see my reaction to that.
I'm just saying, like,
why is it the modern day Hitler mustache? You're on your own island here. Let's you defend this one.
I'm just saying, like, I feel like if he was born in this era, like that's the mustache he'd be rocking.
No, if he was born in this era, I would have gone and killed him.
You're right.
I would kill baby Hitler. Would you?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
You're not like those cowards in the Avengers that said they wouldn't kill Thanos. Kill the baby. Get rid of the problem.
Well, Thanos is purple, so it'd be easier.
Yeah.
You know? He's a freak. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, everybody, but I would kill baby Hitler. Anyway, Warren Sharp, who has a pronounced mustache, I want to start an interesting rabbit hole there, had this to say about people who want to see Deshaun Watson benched for Jameis Winston.
I am sick and tired of people saying they want Deshaun Watson benched. Yes, we know he's been the single worst quarterback in modern history through 5 weeks. But what you don't know is that he's delivered this disturbingly horrific production against the NFL's easiest schedule of pass defenses. The number one easiest. Every single pass defense he's played ranks 19th or worst. I mean, the toughest defense he's played against the pass is the Raiders. The same Raiders who allowed Andy Dalton to roll off of his couch and throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in his first start with the laughingstock Panthers. The same Raiders who allowed rookie Bo Nix to throw for over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns against him. That's the best pass defense Deshaun Watson has played, and he's still the worst quarterback in history. So why don't I want him benched? Because I'm dying to watch the train wreck that's going to take place when Watson finally plays a competent pass defense. Look at this schedule coming up for the Browns. Gaze upon this thing. How incredible will it be to watch Watson go up against pass defenses like the Steelers and Broncos and Chiefs and Ravens? If he's a bumbling fool against the easiest schedule, for once in our life, let's just see how epic this can get. Don't walk out in the middle of the movie. We need to see how this horror film ends.
Huh. It's quite the take.
What a spin.
But I mean, you only want to watch this happen if you don't like Deshaun Watson. Now, this entire city doesn't like Deshaun Watson. I think even the first people who are like, Deshaun's innocent. I think even now they're like, oh, well, what island am I getting on here,
yeah.
You know? So I disagree with this wholeheartedly. You want to have good football.
Yeah, I don't.
Why do you want to watch something bad?
Yeah.
Ironically.
Like, it's not like it's the Sunday night game or the Monday night game where we're all watching it. You're telling me on Sunday at 12 o'clock you're going to go out of your way to watch Eagles Browns to see how bad he looks?
It's not a bad movie where it's an hour and 20 minutes, or a bad TV show like this new Hulu Aaron Hernandez show where, okay, one episode, that's an okay dose. We're talking 3 hours, and then we're talking about that 3 hours plus 17 weeks a year. You shouldn't want to see more Deshaun Watson. And Jameis is fun because you don't know what the hell is happening with Jameis Winston. He's so erratic. He's so fun.
He had some fun videos coming out yesterday from practice.
Oh, what did he post?
No, it was just the video of him at practice just, like, getting the people going a little bit. I need Jameis Winston in my life.
It is.
That's what I need.
It is really crazy that he's more of a vocal leader than Deshaun Watson.
It says a lot. Like, before regular season games, he's giving the pregame speech.
Mm-hmm.
That's really bizarre.
It is bizarre.
Right, what if, like, can you imagine a world where Davis Mills is the guy trying to pump up the Texans before a game? How strange that would be?
It'd be kind of funny.
Like,
he's the most boring person.
And it's because what we talked about this week, where I don't think anyone in that locker room likes Deshaun Watson or wants to deal with this.
I would think at this point there's very few holdouts, unless he is getting them very extravagant gifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all he could do. I mean, he's got a lot of money, so he can buy people off still.
That's true. I mean, he spent a lot of it on lawsuits, but
yeah, and the
we don't know how much.
The best lawyer defense money can buy and settlements.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still got a lot left.
He's still got a lot. I got $70 million coming next year, so you can always do an IOU.
I wonder how long. I wonder if he'll ever go bankrupt. It's got to be on the table. But what are the odds for him getting bankrupt at some point in his life?
50-50.
50-50?
Yeah.
I don't know if I go that high, but I definitely think it's we're talking 20% at least.
I mean, I want to know what these lawyer fees to like Rusty Harden are. I mean, Rusty's had quite a bit of time here in the courtroom and the dealings with Tony Busby. So I really wonder how much of this he's like, how much of this money he's lost because of this. But yeah, I have no interest in watching Deshaun Watson play football. I think it's even funny. You know, I think it was Mike Florio suggested that maybe at some point he'll try to demand a trade to a better situation. Who would take Deshaun Watson that's in a better situation? Like, who, even if you're in a worse situation, what's the motivation behind
someone who
that
wants
guy?
To leave town? Somebody who wants to piss off the fan base and pull an Oakland A's. Someone who wants to pull a Cleveland Indians in the movie Major League. That's it. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, there's no reason behind it.
We're hanging out at Drift in the Heights. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call and it's how you text. And all show long we'll be answering this specific question, confidence-wise, 1 to 10. Where are you that the Texans will beat the Patriots? Where are you that the Texans will blow out the Patriots? Eric the Driver said 8 on the confidence scale, 6.5 on the blowout scale. Up next, we heard a little Al Michaels. I'm surprised by how many people are standing up for, not Al Michaels, but another broadcaster who had yet another "what the hell are you doing, dude" moment in baseball's playoffs last night. Bob Costas' greatest hit next. Stick around. It's Gallant and George. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter that promo code BET975, and as soon as you do, they are going to double your first deposit right away. Yep, you get to play with that on whatever you so choose. With promo code BET975, you can bet on poker, blackjack with live dealers. You can bet on football as well. You might have bet on last night's Thursday night football game. Maybe you're betting on the Texans, 6.5-point favorites on the road against the New England Patriots. I actually would take the Texans not only to win, to cover this week, if I did not live in the city of Houston. But since I live here and since I know this team every single Sunday, I am staying away from this game. But if you got the confidence, you can also bet on the Red River Shootout. You know what the spread is for that game? Texas is favored by 14 points. That game is drunk. That game will never be a Texas 14-point victory, no matter how little faith you have in Oklahoma. Those games are so weird, I think Oklahoma does indeed cover. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights.
Texans Patriots Sunday, the Texans 6.5-point favorite for mybookie.ag. A texter, we ask the question, 1 to 10, confidence-wise, where are you at that the Texans will win this game? Where are you at on if the Texans are going to be able to win this game in a blowout. From the 832, only thing I'm scared of is it seems like rookies always have breakout games against us. I guess. I don't know. I mean, Anthony Richardson last year, but he had 2 touchdown drives. He leaves the game. Was he the reason the Colts won that one? No, the Texans took too long to get things going.
Caleb was terrible.
Bryce Young had a decent game, but it wasn't a good game, you know? It was by his standard that he has set in the NFL to this point. It was great.
Will Levis was not good.
No, Levis stunk.
Yeah, I don't think I agree with that. I guess I have to keep looking past that, but
Of late in the D'Amico Ryans era, I'm hard pressed to think of a rookie that is specifically given this team issues. And I think this Sunday game is going to be a cakewalk. If it's not, a lot of people are going to be like, ah, why did you think that? Well, I don't know, logic. But if you are someone who's a bit superstitious, I can understand why you maybe are a little nervous to say that you have confidence in this Sunday. They're 4-1, one of the four best teams in the NFL right now. Lions haven't played enough games to be in that category. One of the best five teams if you really want to go and get technical about it. So yesterday, the New York Yankees advanced to the American League Championship Series.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bummer. But that's not what I want to talk about here. So I went to Syracuse University. I do brag about it a little bit. It's an esteemed broadcasting school that's seen greats like Bob Costas attend classes there.
Mm-hmm. Not graduate, though.
Apparently not graduate, but I think that they gave him his degree after the fact, whatever. No one cares about that. What people do care about is that we have gotten a whole lot of Bob Costas on, TBS?
Mm-hmm.
During the Yankees' eventual series win over the Kansas City Royals. And in the ninth inning, this is an actual bit of play-by-play. It's not a bit. It's not artificial intelligence. This is Bob Costas somehow, some way, bringing Kevin Bacon into the clinching moments of a playoff series.
You know, we were talking with Aaron Boone before the game, and I said to him, you know that game, that movie game, 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, how supposedly you can connect anybody who's ever been in the film business to Kevin Bacon in 6 moves or less? I said, you won't even need 6 moves to connect Aaron Boone to almost everybody, certainly since the midpoint of the 20th century, which goes back to his grandfather with the Cleveland Indians in 1948, and his brother Brett, and his dad Bob Boone, who played toward the end of his illustrious career as a Gold Glove catcher and later was a manager, played with the Royals in the last 2 years of his career, 89 and 90. And Boone remembers loving that Royals team of George Brett and Brett Saberhagen and Bo Jackson and Kevin Seitzer. Mm-hmm. And so the clubhouse guy here goes into a closet and comes up with Bob Boone's powder blue 1990 Kansas City Royals uniform and gives it to Boone. I'm telling you, just name anybody.
That's right.
And not only can you connect Boone to him, Boone probably has a story about them and probably has some sort of friendship with them.
At least 3 pitches were thrown.
I mean, what would he say about Dusty Baker? Like, in that moment, who's actually been around a majority of the most historical moments in the history of the sport. Mm-hmm. Dusty Baker has been around.
He would have gone for a while. I mean, he said that there's no figure in the 20th century that you can't connect to Aaron Boone. And we were talking about Hitler earlier. I would have loved to see how Bob Costas could work Hitler into the conversation. He's not as talented as me. It's fine. It's okay. Now, in this moment, you got to take Bob off the mic. This is the kind of conversation that you can have during a June or July baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
This is the final frame of an inning where the game's not out of reach and the Yankees are looking to advance in a playoff series for the first time in a while. If you're a Yankees fan, you want to feel a little anticipation because you're going to get excited. And if you're the Royals, you want to see if the Royals can come back. It takes away all the gravitas from the moment, and that's what I don't get about this. How does he think this is good?
To me, what I hear is a selfish broadcaster.
Ooh, hit him.
Is that someone that had this was very well prepared in the fact that he knew going into this series, Bob Costas said, I'm going to make, at some point, this about me to tell this story. And the game was coming to an end, and the series was coming to an end, and he found a way to force it in there. Like, he was not going to let this off his prep sheet and ignore this story, because it was a weird moment to have it. Honestly, it was unnecessary in general. Like, who cares? Talk about the playoff game that's going on right now. Talk about the New York Yankees, who are about to go to the ALCS and have the easiest path to a World Series in recent years because the Astros dumped the bed against the Tigers.
And apparently he's a fan of the Yankees. I'm pretty sure he carries around a Mickey Mantle card with him all the time. I feel like I've heard that story a bazillion times. It's strange. Vin Scully could do this, but Vin Scully would keep the action going while he was telling a story. And maybe Bob used to do that, but Bob hasn't been doing baseball enough of late to, I think, seamlessly do it. And, I mean, okay, the game's on TV. You only need to see what's happening on the TV. But between that and they had an interview with George Brett for an entire half inning, and they take it away from the action. It's, guys, unless you're admitting that baseball is a boring and dying sport, which, by the way, it is, unless this is just you falling on the sword and admitting it, you got to do your part to make this game feel like the high stakes of every single playoff game. And, I mean, he's completely failing here. And it's weird to see the amount of people that are defending Bob Costas. Because Al Michaels has been getting taken down, too, by a lot of people online. Mm-hmm. But there's night and day. Michaels is curmudgeonly, for sure, and perhaps a little bit annoyed by some of the stuff that's going on in these games that he's now watching on Thursday nights. But Bob, I do not remember, and I am a 35-year-old man, I do not remember a moment in my life where Bob Costas called a meaningful baseball game. I don't. I feel like the last time might have been in the early 90s. I truly could not tell you. And it's weird that there's some old heads all of a sudden who are like, oh, well, you know, you got to give him his respect. Okay, sure, but did he seem like he was respecting a game that he loves in that moment by going on this riff like he's me in the middle of a radio show?
I say no. I don't get it. It's this is where I think baseball has missed, you know, the mark on growing their sport. Is one of the things that they don't have is they don't have personalities that people are like drawn to, because the broadcasters don't matter all the time. But when you look at the NFL, like, we know Tony Romo, we know Tom Brady, we know Greg Olson, but then there's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. And baseball just doesn't have that. And maybe it's because all these series are happening at once, so TBS gets its one series and is desperate looking to find someone to call the games, and that's the only person. Isn't that Turner?
Hmm.
So couldn't, like, we have Ernie Johnson do it or something? Like, can't you have someone that works for Turner?
That's what I think.
Put Barkley in the booth. Like, that'd be more entertaining than this. Like, give me something that just, like, when you've got a boring baseball game, because it was the only, like, really boring series of this, you know, in the DS series between the AL and the NL. But, like, it's just, the game's boring, he's worse, and just listening, it's just unenjoyable.
I guess per ETX Sasquatch, he called the Game 3 homer for Jose Altuve?
Oh, yeah, because
if
they were on TBS, he would have been, yeah.
Gotcha, okay. If I'm not mistaken, I believe I ended up either missing that game because I was doing Texans reporting, or if I watched it, the game was on mute.
It's also 7 years ago, so.
It was game one of that Red Sox ALDS where he hit three home runs, yeah.
Well, I'm sure it had a lot of energy. Just knowing,
no, it didn't.
Knowing Bob, I'm sure a three home run game had a lot of energy for Bob.
I found exactly what you're talking about, by the way. There's a funny tweet by Back After This that put out like this long-winded story, and in the very middle of the story it says, and the Yankees turned a triple play, and he goes back to the story. Well, right after that, someone responded to him, how hard to find anything dumber than a young person ridiculing Bob Costas. So
yeah,
this seems to be old people versus young people in a way.
I don't get where the old people are coming from.
I don't get it.
Yeah, at least with Al Michaels it makes sense.
But they just want to, like, stand by their own,
I
guess.
It must be really old, because, I mean, I'm 41, and I can't stand Bob Costas.
Yeah, I don't know. It's people, and a lot of times it is, like, the older media generation that's going to get offended by when you attack a broadcaster, and they feel like it's their responsibility to, like, put up the shield and defend them. And then, but only in baseball. Like, only in baseball do I feel like we do this. We're like, like, people go out of their way to defend the old guard. I mean, it's like, for what, though? He's terrible. Put someone on there that seems like they're enjoying their job. And he doesn't. So I'm glad that series is over, and I think that's the end of TBS's run in the playoffs. So hopefully we don't. I don't think they carry a CS series.
I thought they did. I thought Fox got one and CBS got the other.
That sucks.
But it won't be Bob. It won't be Bob. I doubt it will be Bob Costas.
I'll put that one on mute.
He usually does the ALDS.
Yeah, I'll put that one on mute if that's the case.
He's Joe George. We got BMAC here. Sean Mabes back at Mission Control. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George. We're at Drift in the Heights. Come out and hang out. Want to talk about watching meat? Because it's another scandal in the NFL this week. This one's kind of a fun one. Also, confidence level in the Texans, too. One, beat the Patriots Sunday. Two, to blow out the Patriots on Sunday. Send them in 1-10. Gallant and George, stay put.
ESPN. 97.5.
Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Drift Bar in the Heights with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
1-10, what's your confidence level in the Texans? One, blowing out the Patriots. Two, just beating the Patriots. You can do it in the other order, too. It makes a little more sense in the other way around. Raza956 comments on the Twitch, 8 out of 10, dub. Another comment on the text line, biggest victory of the year, 38-17. Tony the Handsome says 34-3, Texans over the Patriots by halftime. Hell yeah.
By halftime.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, but what does the offense do in the second half? That's where they struggle.
don't do that.
I'm just saying.
This is the bad vibes. This is you're bad vibes Texans guy.
No, 10 out of 10 they win. 7 out of 10 they blow them out.
Okay. Yeah, 9 out of 10 they win for me, and I'm going to say 4.999999, repeating, of course, out of 10 that they blow them out.
Okay.
I want a blowout, though. I'm dying for my blowout. Blowouts are fun. Stress-free. Put your feet up.
Don't have to watch as much.
I didn't say it. I love football. Football's the best. So there's a controversy in the NFL. This one has nothing to do with broadcasters or referees not being able to access the replays that a fancy-ass broadcast on Amazon has. There was something that took place last week, and we haven't really had the time to touch on it, but the NFL Players Association last Friday put out this statement. Over the past 3 years, the NFL Players Association has tried to work with the NFL and Pro Football Writers of America to move media interviews out of locker rooms. However, there has been little willingness to collaborate on a new solution. Players feel that locker room interviews invade their privacy and are uncomfortable. This isn't about limiting media access, but about respecting players' privacy and dignity. The NFL's current media policy is outdated. We, the NFLPA Executive Committee, urge the NFL to make immediate changes to foster a more respectful and safer workplace for all players. In the meantime, we encourage each player to ask for interviews outside the locker room during the week. But some players took this a little bit further. Torrey Smith, who used to be a wide receiver, might remember him with the Baltimore Ravens, among other teams, said this, quote tweeting that post by the NFL Players Association and saying, "If only y'all knew how awkward some of the male reporters act. Straight meat watchers." I don't think he was implying that they were straight in watching the meat.
Don't think so either, Paul.
One player and one reporter in particular was singled out by Kyle Juszczyk.
I didn't see that.
49ers reporter. Maybe we can keep Grant Cohn from always hanging around our lockers while we're changing.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't realize there was some call outs happening. It is weird.
It is strange. I hate it.
I don't like it either.
This is the problem. I don't know how else you do this after a game or after practice other than have it like this, to have a specific room that players are going to go into so that you actually can have one weekly interaction with these players or an interaction with them after the game. I don't know what the other way to do it is. Because if you have them in a room outside of this, great, but, I mean, they could take their time in the shower and just never come into the room.
Yeah.
So
they also all don't come to the room. That's the problem.
They have time to shower. It's not. This is one of those situations. I'm going to sound like I'm defending reporters here. I'm not. The players have time, though, to, after the post-game speech is done, go to the showers, put on a towel. People aren't really walking around naked. It's very rare you see somebody with the confidence in 2024 to walk around a locker room naked unless it's some
old guy at the gym with sagging balls, right? Mm-hmm. Unless he's got some just clackers that are dragging on the floor, and he's standing up with one leg up on the bench, and he's drying his balls while he's looking at the newspaper.
The worst.
That's it. It does not – people don't walk around in the locker room like butt-ass naked. They just don't. Now, anyway, this led to a very funny exchange between the Kelce brothers on their podcast talking about this issue for the NFL.
And it gets the job done. I don't know. I've never cared. I've never thought about it, and I've never noticed anybody staring at it.
We've been in locker rooms our entire lives.
I still remember going into the YMCA in Cleveland Heights and seeing an old man's balls drag along a sauna.
Which is risky in two ways, man. You can splinter those things.
Yeah.
You can sear those things, man.
You know how hard it is not to look at an old man's balls in a sauna? You can't not look at those. And there's nothing sexual about it, Tori. It's like, how the hell are those things hanging that low? I don't think this is the problem that it's being made out to be.
It's so funny, though.
I really honestly think guys just don't want to be interviewed in the locker room. And a lot of people are crying wolf right now to just try and get the reporters out of the locker room. It's so easy to just not show your to everybody. Put a towel on or go into the bathroom that they aren't in. Like, they're not in the showers. Like, hey, how'd you catch that ball?
This is 100% that.
Yeah, they don't want to talk to the media. I mean, look, we saw what happened with baseball. They used the pandemic as a shield to remove reporters from the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then they never let them back in.
Right.
And now what happens is you watch an Astros game and a player makes a big-time mistake and they don't speak to the media.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, Altuve, Bregman, whoever had a good game that day, and typically the starting pitcher. And even then, sometimes, not always available. But, you know, you're never going to get Josh Hader at the podium or Ryan Pressly when they have disaster outings. And that's why they did this, was to limit that. And that's what the NFLPA is trying to achieve. We did see pushback from even some of the players. I can't remember who tweeted it, but he's like, maybe we should focus on something that, like, actually matters to our Players Association, not the media being in the locker room. Honestly, I don't care. As long as they're made available after the game, in other capacities, I'm fine with it, and everyone should be available.
This is the only way you can get someone off the record. You're not going to see these players out in the wild in the same way, and they're going to have their guard up. Rightfully so, they should. But the only way you can talk to somebody off the record is essentially going to have a side conversation off the microphone when you're in the locker room with them. That's it. There's no other setting where you actually have the ability to do it. And again, I do think that the job of a beat reporter on the daily basis is really become that of a middleman. How important really are you? And I hate to ask it like that. I mean, the people who do it, I respect you for doing it, but it's a job that's giving you less and less access. You're providing less and less. Why do I need to pay to see your services, if you will, you know?
Yeah.
So it is getting to that point. No one's going to take the media side here. It's a funny scandal because it's not really a scandal. I think that Jason Kelce is right, though. This is just them using whatever they can to stop doing this because they don't want to do it.
And to, like, now, like, to, like, Kyle Juszczyk's point, and then I've seen it happen. I was in the locker room in, like, 2015 or 16 at a Rockets game, and some guy who was not from the United States was there covering
Classic.
The game, and he was trying to take photos of James Harden mm-hmm. and Eric Gordon. Now,
wait. What kind of pictures?
He seemed like he was just trying to take photos, like, in there, but they were changing while, like, they were doing interviews while they were changing, and it turned into a huge deal, obviously, because it should, and that guy got banned from the Rockets from ever covering the Rockets ever again. So, like, guys like that, if there are guys, as they said, meat watching, they should be banned from the locker room.
But, like, how do you determine that?
That's, like, a great question.
Do you have someone walking around like, hey, eyes up there?
I mean,
down
there's
there.
Only 10 guys on the PR staff. So, like, there's enough in there to find out.
What I do when I'm in there waiting for these players to stand up and be dressed and ready to go, I'm not even kidding, I look at the ceiling. I just walk up and down, I pace back and forth, and I look at the ceiling.
Yeah.
Mainly because I know I'm invading their space, and I hate that I have to be there. I don't like being there. I do think it's awkward. I feel bad for them from that perspective. But it's not like it's as bad as it's being made out to be. I really don't think there are people that are gawking over, you know,
flopping schlongs.
I don't think so either.
Anyway, it is Golan and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. We are live at Drift in the Heights on 20th. It is a beautiful day outside. We've got some really cooperative weather. There's a nice food truck outside as well. And I am going to get myself a ranch water. Yeah, they got the best ones in town. But Texans and Patriots on Sunday. What's your confidence level in the Texans winning? What's your confidence level in the Texans blowing New England out? Stick around. It is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.